good day, my possum friends, my possum family, my possum passel. Welcome to the Royal Rankings Rumble. We look forward to this all year, guys. And backstage, it was already pretty hype. So looking forward to bringing you this content today. As always, I'm with my friends, my cohorts, Billy and Josh. Go follow them at their respective Twitters, at Ombre Bender, at Josh Hall STL with one S, and the Josh in the Hall. It's still weird to me. It's been 4 years now. It's still really strange to me. Follow me at OP Joe with two E's, and follow the channel at IDP Plus, which is still IDP Guys, I believe, on Twitter. So going through a little rebrand, we'll get it sorted out here. Go get the rookie guide. Still giving you real hot information about all these rookies that came out so you can dominate your drafts and get ready for your redraft leagues, because guys, the people in your redraft leagues are not paying attention to rookies. So even if you're not a dynasty junkie like we are, go ahead and get it. Be prepared for your draft, because that is how you win. And Josh, Billy, I just got to go on a tangent for 1 second before we get into this. These streaming services, just a little bit of one, but these streaming services can suck my ass, okay? NFL just releases that Netflix, of all places, is going to host these games today. We got Peacock. We've got Amazon Prime. The NFL's got their own little NFL network bullshit. You know, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business, and they really don't give a fuck about any of us. They don't. They're more than happy to let us go pay for whatever we want, because in the end, they get the money. And also, the more fish that they put into that streaming pond, one of them is going to get desperate and one of them is going to offer a massive contract for a ton of games. So the NFL is a business. They're playing all these guys against each other right now. And in the end, you lose. So let your voices be heard. Go public. Go sign whatever.
All right.
It pisses me off.
after that, I'm going to get into that just real quick. But I just want to clarify for those that are listening, like, man, that was a weird intro. That's how I know you're not a real fan. And you should listen to the whole podcast, because that was the outro and I'm an idiot and I pressed the wrong button. I don't know if Billy even noticed, but yeah.
I did notice, but I was like, whatever, let's roll.
It's a great sound. It's the same song. It's just a different lower part. You know, that's beside the point.
But it got me just as hyped for that intro. So
I mean, it's great. If you didn't recognize that, try to listen all the way through, because honestly, I feel like we get some of the best content at the end. But anyway, no, back to the whole streaming stuff. I will say I did notice that NFL ticket you can buy without a YouTube subscription this year. And I thought that was pretty unique, because I don't have YouTube TV or any cable, because who has cable? I'm not 50 years old. Sorry, 50-year-old people and above. But it was really nice to see that you can actually get NFL ticket without. It's still like, I don't know, $500 or something like that. But, you know, split between it all, it's like $60. And that's only out of market games, though. So that goes down to the whole Netflix, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, NFL Plus. So yes, they still want you to buy all of the sites, but any out-of-network games you could be able to watch for, I don't know, the low, low price of $700 in your soul or something along those lines. But the fact that it's an option exists is way better than it not existing, because last year I'm pretty sure you had to have YouTube TV, and I was like, I don't have YouTube.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm not going to pay $70 a month and then plus $70 another month, so $140 a month to watch just – anyway.
I just want them to give it all the Apple Plus so I can get the Apple Visions and just – fucking live it. That's all I want to do.
Well, we live it so they can win it. But in reality, like, it's just put it like all every single, like, everything should just be bucketed. Like, you want to watch all the NBA games, sure, you still have cable, you still have TNT and whatever else the TV shows or these shows are gonna be on, but like, have NFL, that's it. You have every NFL game you get to watch, every basketball game you get to watch. You can bundle them. You can have basketball, football, you can have basketball, baseball, football. You can watch any game you want at any time. And you can sell them for $400 a year, and people will pay for it. And it's like the NFL ticket. Like, people are going to buy it because they want to watch football games, and you can't watch every football game. I mean, we can try, but
I think eventually there will be, like, the streaming services will just, like, start going away or not spending as much money. So it will kind of all eventually funnel into a couple of channels again. But right now the money is just so good. I mean, why would you not just, yeah, you want three games? Sure, give us $10 billion. That's fine. Oh, you want like one game? Sure. Give me $5 million. You can have that one game. And that's just how it's going to be for a little bit. And, you know, us young bucks are going to have to navigate the, you know, apps to try to find where all these games are, because it's very confusing to do.
But you said young bucks, and then you're like, navigate these apps like an old person. So,
I mean, what, you know,
We're gonna go circle and then end up with cable again, and we're gonna be like, yes, finally they have everything in one, and it's like literally we're just back to
cable. I'm very anti monopoly, but can we please just get a monopoly going here? Charge whatever you want, because when you add up all these streaming services, it's astronomical. So
yeah, it is kind of outrageous. Well, it's more outrageous that they all have enough money to function. Like, that is the scarier part, because most of the time in these businesses, by this point, you've kind of started to lose a competitor here and there, which, I mean, I guess they have a little bit, but like, there's still plenty of money out there. I mean, Disney Plus is doing all of the like WNBA games. I didn't even consider that as an option of somebody who's eventually going to get sports. Disney Plus, Netflix, well, I thought the same ESPN, thing, so, but
I mean, that makes sense, I guess, but
I didn't even think they would be on there. Yeah, no, Netflix.
They roast Tom Brady one time, and then they steal our fucking souls on Christmas like the Grinch, you know?
By the way, did you see Tom Brady regrets doing that roast? It's like, no shit, man, no shit. You thought this was going to end cleanly and that they were all going to give you like silly jokes? Like, no, they're going to go after your family and children. Like, of course, that's the point. Well,
and not to mention, you literally got divorced because you kept playing football. I mean, like, you know, obviously that sucks for him and everything, but like, it happened. You knew it was coming up. Like, did you think it wasn't going to come up? I actually still haven't watched it. I need to watch it.
It's really good. That's what happens when you take a guy that everyone envies. I mean, everyone wishes they were Tom Brady, and you put him on a stage and you get to hurl jokes at him. What did you think was going to happen? I'm with you, Ben.
Get paid. Yeah, no kidding. I think. I don't know if it's.
By the way, before we even get into more football, how about those cicadas, right? Are you all dealing with this too in your yard? Dude, like, they are everywhere.
We have people that listen in London and Australia. I don't know if they even know what cicadas are.
Australia knows what cicadas are.
It's like first time in like 200 years that these two different cicadas are out of the ground at the same time. And it is just a nightmare in my backyard now. It looked like a horror movie the other night. How many cicadas are out there like molting and coming out of their shells? It was just the weirdest, most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. And I kind of like brushed off the cicada warning that was coming. But like, now it's just in my face all the time. Like, there's so many cicadas. I don't know if y'all are dealing with the same thing.
God, I wish a cicada would have flown past his face right then. That would have just been the timing. Like, Gabby just
right on his forehead. It's like a biblical plague out back. Like, I wouldn't imagine someone might fly into the house. It's their house by that point. Like, fine. You know what? I'm just here. 17 years, I'll be back. You all can do whatever you need. But yeah, no, it's crazy. The Midwest is just wild. We got tornadoes, cicadas. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen here.
Cicada tornadoes are happening next. You know what they need in Missouri? Because possums eat ticks. I'd assume they would eat cicadas as well. So we just need to keep pumping out possums, build up the passel, kill all the cicadas. Yeah, my dog is eating the crap out of these cicadas, though. That is like her breakfast.
It's a dangerous game, Joe.
You guys want to talk about football?
Kinda. Let's dedicate the entire rest of this podcast to talking about Harrison Butker, huh? What a lovely gentleman that guy is. Y'all catch up on those clips from that commencement speech.
He's catching some heat, that's for sure.
I would say,
you know, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. I guess he just thinks he can do whatever he wants. I'm not even doing anything. I'm saying, I guess he.
I don't know. It felt like you were gonna like, you know, he made some good points. Like
I like that you would just immediately get defensive of me being offensive, which would be great. But no, honestly, I was just like, I guess he just thinks he's above. Like, I guess these Kansas City Chiefs who win in Super Bowls, Rashi Rice over here beating up people, crashing cars. Butker saying some questionable comments at a commencement speech. I mean,
yep.
Dude, I ain't touching on it. I'm not a 10-foot pole, man.
It was more just a joke because I was like, man, what a subject for us to handle there.
He hangs out with Taylor Swift one time, and look what happens.
We'll just leave that one there. All right, on to the Royal Rankings Rumble. We do this twice a year. We do one rankings this early in the offseason. We haven't even figured out who's making what roster, where people are going to be on depth charts. This is just a gut feeling in May of what we feel post-draft to kind of see for redraft only what kind of rankings we're looking at. And these preliminary rankings that I'm looking at, some are pretty wild. Some are pretty accurate. I think this season's going to be pretty interesting. So without further ado, Josh, would you like to just you're a better speaker than me. Can you go through the top 12 of our rankings and we can discuss?
Yeah, let's do top six first. I feel like that'd be easier because 12 is a lot to digest. So I think some of these shouldn't come as a shock here, but Christian McCaffrey, number one, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Bijan Robinson in the top six. You may be thinking, we're missing some names. Don't worry, they're still coming up. But I think Christian McCaffrey being number one should serve as nobody's shock, except for maybe Joe's, who has him at three.
So Joe, why do you hate Christian McCaffrey? Like, let's just get straight to it. Why he's been the number one player for like 2 years. Whenever he's healthy, he's elite. Scores a touchdown in like 15 straight games this season. What is it that you're like, you know what, this is the year I'm going to rank him low because I think there's two players better than him. Why do you have him at number three?
I'm glad you brought that up. You guys always say I hate players, and I do this and I do that. You've played in leagues with me for long enough, and you've seen how many times I have been absolutely burned by the running back position. So, yeah, if I have the top two, three, four picks in a redraft league, I am not taking a running back. I will take a wide receiver every single time because I'm not going to screw up my first pick with a guy that's going to get injured. I'm not saying he is. I know he's been healthy, but I know the position. I know the volatility. If you want to take Christian McCaffrey, by all means, do it. I would take Lamb over him. I would take Justin Jefferson over him, and I would be very happy.
Well, I was listening to a stat. Josh, just one rebuttal. I was listening to another fantasy podcast. I forget which one it was. It's my bad. But they mentioned that on championship rosters last season, Christian McCaffrey was on 60% of championship rosters. It's hard not to think if you nail your running back pick, and especially it ends up being Christian McCaffrey or some of these other guys we're going to get to, that wouldn't maybe already guarantee you a spot in the playoffs. I'm just saying. It feels like wide receivers are a little bit more like, oh, I can get a Nico Collins in the 10th round, but fair enough. Sorry, Josh, you go ahead.
No, I mean, Christian McCaffrey is just completely elite. Everyone knows this. I mean, the man puts up 40s and 20s and 30s pretty much every week. Like, you're always getting performance out of him. That's the thing is, and that's why, from a running back perspective, not a whole lot of other running backs are doing that. We got two more in the top 10 that would be like, absolutely could probably do that too, but not even to that level. It's just, you're getting a wide receiver and a running back. That's why Christian McCaffrey is so great. But as I was doing the rankings, I noticed that Joe just has every running back except for ones that are on his team ranked significantly lower than us. Like, he just doesn't like running backs except for the ones that he has personally on his teams. So
we're throwing the on his team shade at me.
That is the hilarious. That is 100%. Hilarious. The glass house scenario here.
I just still never listen to the podcast where you talk shit on me, so I have no
Billy.
No,
your point of the 60%, right? That's awesome, and I'm sure I had Christian McCaffrey on a couple teams last year. Did not take him with the first. You know, I usually got him at like four or five because he was slipping a little bit early last year. But I want to know how many times that has worked out in the past. Like maybe 1% of times where the number one running back actually performs as the number one running back.
Time out. But this is the same concept for the number one pick in general. A lot of people took Justin Jefferson number one overall last year. They didn't win their leagues. I mean, it just comes down to like anyone could get injured. Like what's your point? Basically, Christian McCaffrey, while healthy, is
my point is that running backs get injured a lot, hell of a lot more than wide receivers. So that would be my point.
I would have to say the stats don't show that. We don't have stats on that. So anyway.
Please, I want to get backs. Dr. Tom on here so he can tell us.
Joe hates running backs.
I think that was a bad claim.
Anyway.
I feel like Todd Gurley was the last time that, like, the number one overall pick was Todd Gurley, and he actually played the entire season and led people to the fantasy playoffs. That's honestly probably the last person I can remember that, like, people took overwhelmingly number one, and they ended up probably in the playoffs at least. So probably has been a couple years since that happened, I think. I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head.
All right. All jokes aside, this top 8, 9, you really can't mess up. You could literally flip-flop them all around. If you get one of these top 9 picks, I think you're going to be good. So top 6, still got CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek, Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Bijan. Anyone out there, like, you feel strongly about someone ranked too low? Or, I mean, I had Amon-Ra at number 7. You guys had him at 4 and 5. But it's just, in my opinion, it's just preference at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just do my Justin Jefferson thing now. You all have him higher than me. Joe has him at 2. You have him at 3. I have him at 7. And it's just purely because I don't trust the Vikings offense this year. If it's JJ McCarthy, we have no idea what we're going to be getting out there. We have never seen him throw for a lot of yards. We've never seen him facilitate a number one wide receiver in college, mind you. So I don't know how that's going to bode for the NFL. And then if it's Sam Darnold, kind of an equal thing. He also has never had a top wide receiver. He's never been able to facilitate a top guy. Now, Justin Jefferson has the, you know, best wide receiver in the league ability, so that could change things. It doesn't matter who maybe is throwing him the ball. But just going into it without knowing, like, I just want this year, this is my strategy, is just I'm going to go with assets that I know there's a good chance that they're going to work out, rather than just like, well, they're talented. They're in a weird situation, but they're talented. Like, I'm not going to do that this year. That's burned me so many times that I'm just going into it thinking like this, like Amon-Ra, for example. Amon-Ra is in a good offense, same offensive coordinator. Jared Goff's there. They have pretty much the same weapons. And I know what he gave me last year. Like, that's why I trust him more than I trust Jefferson, just because there's a lot more volatility to me in that role.
Well, I feel like that's honestly similar to this in general, like all these rankings, because you have a lot of changes of scenery, a lot of new quarterbacks coming in, a lot of new wide receivers, running backs switch places, especially running backs. There's a whole lot of different settings. So I feel like rankings this early is always hard. I would say my logic is, and I know that this isn't the popular opinion, but Jefferson propped up Kirk Cousins this whole time. I mean, he was quarterback 11. He was fine, but he's throwing for, you know, 1,000 plus 800, 1,800 yards to Justin Jefferson, which made him a fantasy relevant quarterback or even a decent quarterback. He wasn't winning games because he's just an okay quarterback. So I'm not saying JJ McCarthy's the stud and can do this, but I don't see why Justin Jefferson can't still be a top 2-3 wide receiver, in my opinion. And I mean, once again, we're splitting hairs here because we're talking the difference between 3rd and 7. He's still a first round draft pick. You're not trying to put him at number 20. You're just saying you'd rather have Amon-Ra, who you know's situation didn't change. Jefferson's situation did change, but it didn't change who he was. And he's fully healthy. He finished out the season. I mean, you know, it was an ugly season, lost season because of basically him being gone. But I don't personally, I mean, yes, it changed a bit, but it's still Justin Jefferson. And he's still going to get peppered with targets. So I'm not too worried about that personally. Not to mention Hockenson being out for probably the first part of the year, maybe more.
Propped up Kirk Cousins? That is insane. Fantasy-wise, no.
I'm going to take it a step further and just say that Kevin O'Connell's offense propped up Kirk Cousins, and that defense being below average kept them throwing the ball almost constantly. But you have an offense where they throw, you know, I mean, I think they've led the league in passes the last 2 years, 3 years, easily. And when Justin Jefferson came back after their bye last year, he was the wide receiver 3 with Nick Mullins. So I know Darnold and McCarthy aren't it, but I think Justin Jefferson can replicate those numbers and be a top 5 wide receiver easily. Probably even get to number 1 with the amount of targets that he commands. Now, if you want to make the Amon-Ra argument, I mean, he has an offensive coordinator that just schemes him open all the time, and he's arguably like the safest wide receiver to draft for me. But I like Justin Jefferson, and I am going to say that talent and opportunity are going to win out in this one.
100%. I will say Amon-Ra is the new Cooper Kupp, by the way. He just always seems to be wide open. And it's just one of those things where you're like, why? Nobody's covering him. I'm never mad about it this time.
But I cannot believe you just said Justin Jefferson propped up Kirk Cousins. Like, that is the craziest thing in the world to me. Did Stephon Diggs prop him up before Justin Jefferson was there? Like, when he was in Washington throwing for nearly 5,000 yards, like, who was propping him up then? Like, how is he?
No, he had one good season, like one great season, and then he had a bunch of, you know, pretty mediocre.
He's thrown for 4,000 yards like 9 times, and most of those were without Justin Jefferson.
And the last 3 of those were because of Justin Jefferson. Keeping Kirk Cousins getting money.
The other 6, who were the 6 before that that were propping him up?
I said he was an okay quarterback. I never said he's a bad quarterback. We're looking at QB 13. 14 ever since he's even had Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson's had average of 1,600 yards in the 3 healthy seasons he had. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of stats just to one guy. And it's not only because Kirk Cousins was throwing him really well, a really good wide receiver. So therefore I'm not worried about it. I think opportunity shines over, you know, bad QB play. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is bad. I'm just saying, like, he's not good.
I just, like, do you think J.J. McCarthy's going to have 4,000 yards this season or Sam Darnold? Because that would be insane.
I would say a combination of the two, whatever ends up starting. If I'd say
would be 4,000 yards?
100%.
You know Baker Mayfield's never been to 4,000 yards, right? Like, that's never happened.
It's because he's not good.
But J.J. McCarthy is not better than Baker Mayfield right now.
Well, let's even if they don't get to 4,000 yards.
I don't know. This just seems crazy to me. Like, okay, Minnesota's going to be really good on offense this year. For what?
Let's just say Justin Jefferson gets a third of whatever is thrown for in that offense.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a damn good season.
Yeah. That's probably seventh best, one could say.
Oh, shit.
I always love those, but honestly, that like fireball bet on 4,000 yards for Minnesota thrown this year
by one person, or like, you know what? I don't even care. It could be combo. Yeah, there's no shot in the world Minnesota is going to get to 4,000 yards thrown. There's no way.
But I don't think 4,000 hard to do. I don't think 4,000
very hard to do now. Nowadays, it's hard to do.
There's 17 games in the season, but it's fine.
All right, all you guys are bickering here. I just want to say that I love Breece Hall. But I looked up, I did some digging. Fun fact about Breece Hall is 38% of his points were scored on 5 touchdowns last year, which is crazy.
It's kind of Damian Pierce effect.
Yeah, he broke a lot of long runs on passes and touchdowns, and that was good enough for almost 40% of his points. So Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. It's going to be a better offense. They're going to actually do everything. So I'm not worried about him. But that stat does make me just a little bit lower than I was previously.
So I'm actually not worried about that because this offense was complete garbage. And Breece Hall, can I say propped up the team? Or is that going to – okay, cool. They propped up the entire team.
That's actually a real thing to say.
I believe in it, so therefore it's
Justin real. Jefferson anyway, didn't prop up.
We're done with Kirk Cousins. But anyway, I actually believe that Breece Hall could be higher than the sixth. I couldn't personally put him above anyone I had. Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Hill, and McCaffrey. I think it's all pretty obvious picks to be above him, but I think he should be next in my opinion here because of the fact that this team is going to be an actual team this year, hypothetically. Even if Rodgers isn't fully what he has been in the past and just kind of plays a Kirk Cousins type year, he should Breece Hall will be fine. I'm just saying. I had to throw it in there.
No, I agree. The only thing that like I would say is like even if, it's one of those things like even if Aaron Rodgers went down, he's still going to be good, and that's the kind of consistency I would want on my team. Given it's only 6 versus 8, so it's kind of a coin flip anyway whether he finishes either of those places. But I just trust him a little bit more because I've seen him do it. Now Bijan, anyway, on the other hand, I don't know. Anyway. Like that's another one. That's kind of a random. We don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go through the 7 through 12 because I never did tell it, but before Joe snuck into the 8th. So 7 through 12 is Ja'Marr Chase, Breece Hall, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Garrett Wilson, and Jonathan Taylor. And I think honestly, there's not much disparity here. Once again, give or take a few. I think the most we have anyone different is like 4. Actually, Billy has Saquon Barkley higher than me. But honestly, going back to Bijan, I don't have any strong feelings. I'm the lowest at 8. I don't have any strong feelings about it. I just feel like this team is going to turn into more of an actual balanced team instead of Arthur Smith, Bijan / Algier and Cordell Patterson run game. I just don't see it. I don't see them wanting to burn Bijan to the ground at the moment. I think there's going to be still a healthy dose of Algier. It's not going to be like a starting workload's worth, but it's going to be, 5-7 carries a game. Bijan's going to be fine. I just don't see him as the, Christian McCaffrey scoring 40 every other week. And I don't see I'd rather have a wide receiver at this point. I'd rather take those, Amon Ross, Tyreek, Chase, the guys who can get those bigger games. I think Bijan's just going to be a really consistent force, which is also really good. So like, I think 15 to 20 is going to be pretty much his standard, but I don't see the giant games as often, if that makes any sense.
I see what you're saying there. Their moves this entire offseason, I mean, they signed Kirk Cousins to a massive deal. They went out and just absolutely blew the 8th pick on a quarterback to make sure they had a contingency plan if Kirk Cousins wasn't healthy by that time. That doesn't indicate that they're going to reserve Bijan Robinson and save him for the future at all. That tells me, like, hey, we're going to get this kid the ball, and we know Zach Robinson wants to run a more up-tempo offense, which is only going to bode better for Bijan. I mean, I know Algier is still going to be involved, but Bijan's your passing down back. Bijan is an absolute stud. I think he's going to be what we were expecting him to be last year when we drafted him.
I mean, he was great last year.
Yeah.
But he could be better. Yeah. I think.
Well, that, he could have played. You mean he could have played the game that they just didn't use him? Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Right.
The whole offense was so defunct, it was hard to do anything. But
no, I just think it's going to be more of a consistent. Like, you're going to see kind of what you got out of like Zeke and Saquon back in their rookie early years. Like, not. I just don't see. I don't see 40s. I see 20s. You know what I mean? Which is fine, and I'm cool with consistency. Like, that's actually all I ever ask for in fantasy is someone who's going to go out there and score 20. Or, you know, consistently score the same amount. So I know what I'm getting from them. I don't see the weird one carry for 3 yards ever happening again. I don't have any problems with Bijan. I just personally just, I think these Jamar Chases, the Amon-Ras, the Jeffersons, the Hills, all going to be going and getting more like high scoring games. Like Chase is going to be super boom or bust really, but like, you know, his bust is like 11. And his boom's like 40 or 50. So
that's true. Yeah. The only reason I rank Chase a little lower is because like these reports about Joe Burrow just scare me to death. Like the like rumors about his like throwing. I know there might like we're going to have to get Dr. Tom on here or somebody injury known to like reaffirm my thoughts about Joe Burrow. But like, I don't know. Some of these like random rumors just make me think that Joe Burrow's, wrist is never going to be the same, and that scares me when you're going into a season expecting how he's going to be how he normally is. I don't think I ranked Joe Burrow any lower because of it, but at the same time, it does make me worried for Chase because don't know what it's going to look like. But I still have him in the top 10, so it's not like I'm saying he's going to be a bust. But
no, I get it.
A little more nervous.
Yeah, I'm not terribly worried about that because there's no concrete evidence that he's going to be bad at this point. So it's hard for me to say. What? It'd be different. Like there's concrete evidence about Rashee Rice slipping in all of our rankings because he's going to be facing suspension. You know what I mean? Like we know that
half the season, I would say it would seem. I mean, I don't know if there's
seemingly a lot more than I originally thought. I was like, oh, you know, car accident, negligent driving, stupid. But then the second thing, and I'm just like, oh yeah, no, they don't take kindly to that stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
Anyway, not. I'm just gonna run through the bottom or the next 12 to 24, just to kind of get the second round out there, get people's eyes or ears, I should say. Listen, Puka Nacua 13. Gibbs, Harrison, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Sam Laporta, Kyren Williams, Travis Kelce, Mike Evans, and Derrick Henry.
I mean, out of those, was there anybody that you all thought was a little crazy? I do have Josh Jacobs ranked at 30. I'm probably wrong on that, so I'm just going to explain it now that I
maybe do want him. I don't even blame you for this because I was looking at other people's rankings just to kind of make sure mine weren't crazy and everything. And I couldn't find Josh Jacobs for the longest time. Like he was down in like the 40s and stuff. And I don't know if people think that it's going to be like an Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon type split there. But Josh Jacobs, there's no way. I mean, Marshawn Lloyd will have a role at some point and he will be the second and will actually get that kind of two-tiered backfield, especially later in Jacobs' career. But this year is all full force Josh Jacobs. And I can't believe that seeing him at 40 and like, I think even like 45 in rankings. And I was like, in redraft, like I could understand maybe dynasty, but even dynasty, he's got a 3-year contract. Like I'm and what, 26 years old, like maybe even less. Joe's even on board. And that's like his age limit cut off for running backs. Sorry. Not for those who don't listen, you know, just running backs.
Jesus. That's
fair enough.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs is to the moon this year. Get him on your team. The other running back in this group that everyone's super down on that we're honestly pretty is Kyren Williams at 21. Everyone hates Kyren Williams. I mean, in drafts, I've seen him going fifth, sixth round, and I know that they brought in Blake Corum, but Kyren Williams did what no one expected him to do last year, and he looked damn good doing it. So he's going to lose a little bit, but he's still extremely valuable. And so keep an eye out for him and Jacobs in that round.
I just feel like he's not going to go low in actual drafts. Like, I feel like everybody's going to remember how good he was last year, and like he's going to go where we have him ranked, whereas, like, all these, like, the experts have him ranked lower because of, you know, dynasty brain probably. But, like, it's going to be hard to get him in the fifth or sixth round in, like, our family and friends leagues because there's just everybody's gonna see the name and they're gonna be like, oh, I remember that guy. Like he won me, you know, some money last year.
And okay, like, he's so
money on some teams.
I completely agree with that. Honestly, like I just don't understand why these, I would say, you know, second year breakouts are, you know, going so low. But let's talk about Zamir White. We all have him ranked too low, in my opinion. It's the same concept. Like they brought in nobody. We got Alexander Mattison taking the job from him. Like, I mean, I understand his team's not going to be great, but Zamir White had a phenomenal end of season. Not quite what Kyren did, obviously a full breakout, but like, how is Zamir White not this year's Kyren? You know what I mean? Nobody really to take the workload has shown it. If anything, Zamir's shown it more than Kyren did before he did it. So like, why is everybody so low? And I was high compared to what other rankings I saw. We were all kind of mid round, like 40-ish, 50-ish, which is like, you know, fine, but like he should be higher. I mean, this is a starting running back on a not so great team, but like at least a, you know, relatively functioning offense should be at least two tight ends, two wide receivers, Gardner Minshew, hopefully.
So, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the person's name, which is the problem for me, and that's Alexander Mattison. Like we did this last year where Alexander Mattison was the one, the RB one, had no competition, but he was bad. And I think the same thing about Zamir White. I mean, I think like he's got no competition. There's nobody to take, but he's just not good. Like I just don't.
How is Zamir
White? I wouldn't trust him. I just haven't seen him do anything. I mean,
you mean the last Josh four Jacobs has games of the season? The last four games of the season did nothing for you, man. I literally won playoff games, got to the championship because of Zamir White. Like filling in, I mean, last minute.
That's and fun. Alexander Mattison had plenty of great games. Remember, we were like, Alexander Madison's handcuffed one. Whenever he's in there, he's basically Dalvin Cook. That's the same guy. And that's what happened when he was RB1. It was a disaster.
Yeah, Zamir White wasn't the handcuff. Zamir White was the finishing running back for this team. Like, he was the running back one at the end of the year. Jacobs was gone. We pretty much all knew it. I mean, Raiders are cutting ties with everybody. I'm just saying. I'm not arguing him to be in the top 20. I'm just saying these are two guys who share a lot of circumstances. But while we're on running backs, and
we
while
went from
we're
the arguing, second round. The seventh round really quick.
You sure did. I was kind of wondering where that came in.
Because they're similar circumstances, guys. All right.
You're going to get no argument for me on Zamir White. I love Zamir White this year. Just keep his name out of your mouth, dude. Just I know we're here to help people. We're here to help people.
Fair enough.
But Zamir White in the seventh round is just a thing of beauty, and I want to keep him there. So,
for a zero RB strat, yeah, that's probably smart. Hopefully nobody in our leagues won't listen to it. But all right, anyway, let's get back up to the second round. And Derrick Henry, who I have listed at 18, y'all have listed at 27 and 29. Finishing running back 8 last year while still on split duty, has just about nobody behind him. Not too worried about anyone taking his workload other than maybe Lamar. I understand Derrick Henry's getting old. He's 30 years old, but this man has shown no signs of quitting. Played every game last season, still finishes running back 8. And I just see this as an absolute win being on this team. They've always looked for this workhorse running back. They've never gotten it because they've dealt with injuries. Maybe there's like an injury plague that happens there, but I was just wondering why you guys have him, you know, well into the third round at this point. Compared to Lou, where I have him.
I mean, you said it, Lamar. I mean, I don't trust any running back that has a running quarterback there. I mean, he's going to steal yards. I mean, not necessarily going to steal touchdowns because he didn't really do that a whole lot last season. But I don't trust because Joe's boy Keaton Mitchell's there. That I don't trust. I think they're going to use him, but I don't think they're going to workhorse him because he's just not going to be able to hold up doing that.
Well, okay, so my thing is I understand why you could see that, because like Lamar's going to run for 700-800 yards. Like that's just Lamar. That's what he does. But on that team, there's 2,600 yards to go around. You know what I mean? So why is his numbers not still 1,200 yards? You know what I mean? Like that's still 600 yards for the backup. Like we're getting 800 yards for Lamar, 1,200 yards for him, and then 600 yards for the backup. I think that's very doable. The thing is it's been split up so much because they haven't had one guy stay healthy. And Derrick Henry, if anything, has shown that he's just a different breed of human being. So I don't know. It's hard for me to fight him. I understand dynasty brain, you know, older people and whatnot. But Derrick Henry is like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to me. Like you don't fade either any of those people.
Oh, I'm pumped to see him in this offense, man. I was so pumped by that signing. I'm very excited. I just, for the fourth year in a row, it's He's old. I'm getting off the train early for 4 years. And I'm probably going to be wrong again. But
I would just feel – I would feel better with him at the end of the second round or, like, beginning of the third than I would early in the second round. That's just – just preference. But, I mean, if the way the draft falls, he ends up being somebody that I'm going to have to take, I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to say he's going to have a bad year. Before we get out of the second round –
I was just going to say the next running back is Isaiah Pacheco, like 10 picks from then. So, like, I just feel like it's his placement on average for us, like, at 24, I think is right on. Like, I don't think he deserves to fall out of the second round is my logic.
That's probably right. All right, before we get out of the second round, we have to talk about DJ Moore. Josh, why do you hate DJ Moore? Why do you hate the Bears in general?
I don't even know where DJ Moore's at. How low is he? Should be lower.
So he's at 17. I have him at 14. Joe had him at 20, but you have him at 27.
Coming off. All right, so So that's my main thing is you got a new quarterback coming in. Obviously, he was phenomenal. I surprisingly don't have Keenan Allen ranked higher. Experts don't have Keenan Allen ranked. Like, I swear he's, like, just not on the list, like 90 or 80. And I'm like, are we just pretending that Keenan Allen doesn't exist? Like, yeah, he got injured last year. Yeah, he's been injured before. Yes, he's 30 years old. Still Keenan Allen. You know what I mean? Like, my problem here is we got Keenan Allen. We got Adunze. We got Komet. We have a new quarterback. It's nothing against DJ Moore. We know the talent's there. I just, with a new quarterback coming in and, you know, another number one wide receiver coming in my opinion, actually two number one wide receivers. Like, this is, might be the best wide receiver class in the NFL. I don't know who Caleb's going to cling to. I could see Keenan Allen, him clinging to Keenan Allen. And DJ Moore, nothing against the guy. I think the 1,100 yard mark would be there still. Like, I don't see him falling off. I had him a little lower. I just around the time where, you know, you start grabbing the last wide receiver ones, because I just don't think there is a clear-cut wide receiver one.
So you don't believe in the Texans effect, basically, is what you're saying.
Not with the rookie quarterback. That's gonna happen. No, not with the rookie quarterback.
What was CJ Stroud?
I'm saying I don't – not with another rookie quarterback. I just don't –
He was a freak of nature, but, like, he came in and was incredible. He was a rookie quarterback, and he literally propped up two top 10 wide receivers at that. So that was even, and if you count Tank Dell, it could be top two or three, top like 30 wide receivers.
I think the good thing that the Bears to just destroy my argument. The good thing about the Bears is they have those three guys and that's it. You know what I mean? I mean, they have running backs, they have tight end, you know, but like behind the three of them, you don't have anything else. So it's not like there's like a guy waiting in the wings. Like the Texans, I felt like just had all these guys waiting in the wings. Like, okay, guys, that could have been the thing, or like Mechie, like we talked about in the last couple podcasts. But I don't know who he's going to cling to. I think 1,100 yards is fine. I don't see wide receiver six, as Joe put it last year. I don't personally. Like, I just think it's going to take Caleb's a kind of a learning year. And with the running back game, that's going to probably be very heavily involved because we got Swift pass catching from him. And then not to mention if Roshan ever becomes a thing or Herbert gets touches. I mean, there's just a lot of touches to go around for this field. I'm not staying away from the Bears. I'm just not biting high on the Bears, if that makes sense, draft wise. I don't disagree with that DJ Moore's good.
Joe, what do you feel about the Bears?
Well, I think Caleb Williams is going to break every Bears quarterback record that we have this year.
Is there even a quarterback record for the Bears?
It's not a bold take, but it's going to be a completely different offense than we're used to seeing from the Bears. So my only argument on this is DJ Moore is very different from the other guys on this team. So you have Swift, you have Komet, you have Keenan Allen, you have Adunze. They're going to kind of do similar things. And then you have DJ Moore who – give him that 10-yard pass, he's going to take it to the house. You know, he's very good in space. He's a good route runner, which Adunze is too, but he's going to have time to develop here. So I think DJ Moore is your one off the bat. Keenan Allen's your safety blanket, older guy. He's a great wide receiver. But, I mean, he is – if you want to take the Keenan Allen and Mike Williams scenario here, DJ Moore is Mike Williams that can actually play football. And we saw what Mike Williams did on the Chargers. So I think DJ is going to have a great year. I'm all in on it.
I just feel like my logic here is that the 50-point games are gone. The 30-point games are gone.
Yeah. you talk about 50-point games like they're common.
I mean, he had one last year.
He did?
He was the only one on the team. That makes sense why he had a 50-point game. There's a lot of mouths to feed is all I'm trying to say. Like I said, I don't hate DJ Moore. I think that there's other mouths to feed now.
I mean, you might be right about that. I don't know. All right. Well, busting out of the second round, let's talk about some guys that on the rest of these rankings that we were kind of just really far apart. We kind of already talked about Derrick Henry, but the next one we have on our list is Josh's Brandon Ayuk take. He has him at 41. Joe has him at 22. And yes, 16. I have him at 16. Josh, why do you hate Brandon Ayuk?
Why has it got to be hate? Honestly, this came surrounding. I'm surprised you guys had him so high, up at 22 and 16. Like, even if I didn't think there were trade rumors swirling and that this, like, I didn't think that they were happy, you know, playing on like a no contract, I would never put him that high. I think Ayuk was fine, wide receiver 14 on the year, but at 16, that does not put him as wide receiver 14. Like, I don't see that being something that changes. Honestly, I think I have Ayuk and Debo like one away from each other because I don't know who it's going to be. If both of them are on the team, I could not tell you who would be the better person to draft. It's probably Ayuk, but it could be Debo. It all depends on the year. Ever since Christian McCaffrey got there on this team, like, Ayuk's been better, I guess. I mean, he had an off year and a good year. But honestly, my opinion is that, you know, his original stats, 800, 1,000 the last 2 years before this breakout season is more likely, personally. And then not to mention the fact that he might get traded. Who knows where he gets traded to? I would never spend a second round pick on Brandon Ayuk. I could say that. There are several wide receivers that I would grab even in the third round before Ayuk, in my opinion. So, I'd say at most I could bump him up five spots. You know, that's best I can give you. No reason. I'm trying to be like the guy. Best I got five spots. I'd bump him up five spots just to like make you guys happy. Like, no problem. But I can't give you 16. Like, that's end of first round. We have Devontae Adams there. I could see him being bumped down, but we got DJ Moore a spot below and we got Marvin Harrison a spot above. I'm taking both those guys before him easily, even on my hate for DJ Moore.
Joe, you want to go next about Brandon Ayuk? Why do you like him?
I mean, he was the sub last year. If you look at like the final 9 games of the season, I mean, I think he averaged 150 yards receiving. He was absolutely great at the end of the year last year. And I think that momentum is going to carry over to this year. So I'm sorry. Debo's just a dude. He's going to have some good games, but he is not a great wide receiver by any means. And you got Kittle getting up there in age. We know Brock Purdy likes to spread it around, but I mean, this offense is essentially the same. So.
All right. For one,
he's going to do the same thing.
For one, I got to rebuttal his rebuttal. Ayuk got 150 1.5 times last year. I'm giving the 148. So he did not average 150 yards at the end of the season. And number two, why does everyone hate George Kittle? This man continues
to
shine.
No one hates George Kittle. Why do we all got to be hating? I'm just saying he's old, man. I know how my back feels in the morning. And
George Kittle is a top five, should be a top three tight end, in my opinion. Nobody, I mean, maybe four. We can
put him on
Mark Andrews.
He definitely was.
He was top five last year.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
and he sat out the last game. But it's redraft. So
why do you hate young people, Josh?
You guys love young people, man. Talk about the rookies that you guys threw in your 150 for no reason, man. Dynasty drafts.
Good rookies in there. I like Brandon Ayuk. I think what he did last season, I think that's what we're going to get this season. There's really no big change. I know they added Ricky Parasol. I think it's going to affect Debo. I don't think it's going to affect Brandon Ayuk. And I think 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns is definitely possible, and that would put him right in the range to be a good second-round wide receiver. So I'm not worried at all.
Plus, if he were to get traded, I think he would go to a much better situation.
Well, that's the other thing, so. Yeah, is if he did get traded, I mean,
up for me. Sorry.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And, like, you're betting on even if he does get traded, he's probably getting traded to a situation where they need a wide receiver, I would hope. Hopefully it's not somebody just, you know, like the Texans just stacking assets, but
I don't even know if you write these down anymore, but I'll do a fireball bet on this one because I don't agree with you.
like what
set the parameters best? And I'll take them.
Not better than wide receiver 15 or not more than 1,250 yards, whichever one you want. I'm down.
You said 1,250
yards? 1,250
yards
or not better than wide receiver 15. I'm giving you either or.
I will take either of those because I think he's going to be better than both.
Got it. Yeah. Two fireball bets.
That's fine.
I'll take the 15.
I like Joe's just taking the half. I like it.
Taking the yards.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next one. Joe, this one's for you. This one will be you. Amari Cooper. Josh has him at 51. I have him at 30. Or I have him at 39. You have him at 30. I don't even know. Is this going to be Josh defending why he has him so low? Or are you wanting to defend why he's at 30? I don't know.
Okay, so I want to start this off by apologizing to my fellow Passel out there. Last week on our pod, I said that Deshaun Watson did not use Amari Cooper and absolutely ruined him. After doing some more digging, Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson averaged 18 points a game and had some really studly games out there. So I think that Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson is a beautiful thing. He saw his points decrease with that horrible trio of PJ Walker, DTR, and Flacco. So I think Amari Cooper, assuming he stays healthy, even at his age, which you guys accuse me of being an ageist, is going to produce handsomely for fantasy football. I do want to talk about David Njoku, though, but that's for another one.
You guys are calling me ageist. I just honestly haven't seen the combination. Wide receiver 20, I mean, and that was because of a 50-point game with Joe Flacco at the end. Honestly, like, sure, he can be good. I just feel like the split between playing, I mean, he's played almost all the games, right, in his career. I mean, 14, 15, 16 games every year. A great thing about him is he's always healthy. He finished as wide receiver 20 last year, 10, 27, 15, 10, 19. The inconsistency for me is my problem. Is Amari Cooper can go out there and have a 50-point game, which we have talked about so often on this podcast. But in general, like, I don't want him on my team anymore. Like, I'm over it. Like,
I completely understand your argument there. I was right with you until I dove into the numbers, but his number of 18 points a game with Deshaun Watson is not even including the 50-point game. So
I will say that's
top five numbers right there, wide receivers.
I'm fine with that. And to your argument, the fact of signing Jerry Jeudy, I think, actually helps his cause, not because I know you hate Jerry Jeudy, although ironically you have him ranked higher than both of us, which is hilarious. But honestly, I know you hate Jerry Jeudy and everything, but Jerry Jeudy stretches the other side of the field. And Amari Cooper should see less coverage because of that. I mean, it was pretty easy to cover just Amari Cooper and then Elijah Moore running a slant every time. I mean, even though Amari Cooper was also running a slant at the end of it all. So
9 catches for 26 yards.
I could go up on Amari Cooper. It's a personal thing. Like, it's just, I've seen him. I've had him on my team. He's gotten 2 points in too many games for me. And I just, it's the inconsistency for me. That's why I have him down a little lower. I'd rather have 15 points. And 2 rounds later, I'd rather draft Jaden Reed and have 15 points a game and just be happy with it.
I mean, that's fair. I just think that, like, had he had one more touchdown, he finishes as, like, wide receiver 16, and we're probably not as, like, worried about him. Because, like, that bunch right there from, like, 16 to, like, 25 was all within, like, 3 points, which is just insane. But it happens that way.
Had he not scored 65 yards in his final game that he played last season, he also would have been wide receiver, you know, I don't know, 30. So, I mean, that's my logic. You go one way, you can go the other as well. So one boom game at the end of the season doesn't make up for the mediocrity that was last year.
Well, if you take that boom game that he had without Deshaun Watson with Joe Flacco out of there, he had 11.6 points, so he averaged, you know, 7 more points a game with Deshaun Watson than all that other trash he had out there. So keep it going. I'll draft him early. You guys can have him late.
I mean, he's definitely somebody that you can put on your team and you know you're going to get at least consistent points with hopes that he's going to boom.
No, he's not. He's not the consistent player. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you the opposite. He's not a consistent player. He will get you 6
Deshaun Watson, he'll be fine.
Okay. He's not tell people Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper has never been a consistent guy. You are always going to get two-point games out of Amari Cooper every year, and you're going to be mad when it happens, especially when you need that win.
Well, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of wide receivers like that. Like Jamar Chase did that.
But I feel like Amari Cooper is just known for it. Like I could find a game.
Well, that's true. I mean, back especially in the Raiders days, he would have like a 200-yard game, and then the next game. Actually, I think weirdly enough, this happened this exact season. I'm pretty sure after that 200-yard game, he did nothing the next game. I think that was he did that with the Raiders. He was a little bit more consistent with the Cowboys, I feel like, and then he was like that with the Browns too. But then again, you know, without the quarterback being a clear situation, we don't really know at the same time. All right, we'll move on to the next one. It's Devon Achane, and we are all so far apart on this that I'll just be the one to talk about it. But Josh has him at 30 because he's on his dynasty team. Joe has him at 60, and I have him at 49. I get why I'll talk both sides of my mouth on this one. So I get why you're high because the games that he really performed in last season and he was out there consistently, not injured, he was phenomenal and he definitely played really well. And you could definitely talk yourself into, okay, he's probably going to get more touches this season because Mostert's, you know, older, more injury prone. No way he's going to pull that off again this next season. I could see why you'd be that high on him. But at the same time, you take away the, like, two really huge games Devon Achane had, he was just okay. But he was injured too, so it's hard to, like, quantify that. And I just feel like he is a middle guy. I don't think I'm going to want him on my team a whole lot this season, at least in redraft, at least. In Dynasty, I wouldn't mind it. But my redraft team, it's just too volatile, and I would not want that to be – potentially my RB2, but at 49, he probably would be my RB2 because I probably went wide receiver heavy. I don't know. I can see why we're so far apart because the range of outcomes are insane with Achane this year.
Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I'll start this off. It's very simple because Jalen Wright was drafted to be the lead back on this team. He is bigger. He ran a 4.38 to Devon Achane's 4.32. He's a better pass protector. He's in everything. Mostert can do whatever he wants. If he wants to get 17 touchdowns again this year, that's fine. But Devon Achane has another mouth in that backfield that's going to get an increasing amount of work as the season goes on, if not starting off from camp. So I just think that I like Devon Achane as a player. I think he's going to get you a lot of points. I think he's going to be your inconsistent running back.
I obviously wholeheartedly disagree. And not only – I will say I have him ranked a little high, and that's probably a little bit of dynasty bias. But I will say I think that there's the option of him being way higher than 30 is very, very possible. And that's why I think that I would stick with where I have him. I would agree that the 51-point game against Denver where they scored way too many points and way too many touchdowns was a fluke. Nobody knew what was happening. You know what I did the next week? I sat him because I was like, that's not going to ever happen again. The man went out there and got 27 points. Like, I mean, and then back to that, he got 21 points the next game. And then obviously he got injured. And then, yeah, it was never really the same. But when fully coming back from the injury again, went out and got another two touchdowns and got 25 points. I mean, when healthy and if healthy, this man can be, and this is with Mostert playing. This is with who was the other guy? Ahmed or whatever playing. Yeah. I mean, there was a three-headed backfield this whole time. I will agree. I don't understand why Jalen Wright's there, but he will have a role. But I think it's more to replace Mostert. I think this is going to be a two-headed backfield in the future. And I think Achane and Wright will both be great. I don't think this year is Wright's year. I think for people who draft him in Dynasty, you drafted him at the exact right time and you got him on the ground floor. And I think that's the best bet. I think next year you are going to get a phenomenal running back. This year, obviously, if Mostert goes down, you could potentially lean into one. There is no way Achane doesn't go out there and just do this unless he gets injured. I'm not saying he's going to go out and never get 50 points again. That was obviously a ridiculous game that nobody saw coming. But to say that this man can't do it is wild because he showed it after that game too. And I wasn't even sold, and I had him on my team. So I am sold now. So yes, Achane is high stock for sure. The 60 super low, the 49 a little low. I'd say where he's at 45 is right where he should be. The next running back off the board is Joe Mixon. I think there's no way he should be even this close to Joe Mixon. So,
really? Okay. I feel like Joe Mixon, there are better outcomes for Joe Mixon than there are for a chain.
I mean,
starting running back on their team, on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, but we're talking back. We're going back to the age here, Joe Mixon, and I think.
Oh my God! Okay,
we're going back. We're going back to. I also have faith in Dameon Pierce still. I know that last year was the last year.
Well, yeah, that's
he got beat. It was just a weird season for him. He had a great rookie campaign, and then he came out, didn't look great, and Singletary did. I mean, he just got beat, is what it was. I think he has the speed that Mixon doesn't have. And he can hit those holes a little bit more than Mixon has. Mixon's going to be the grinder. I think Pierce actually has a better year, personally. I don't think it – I think Mixon's still the running back one here. But I think Pierce has a way bigger role than he did with Singletary.
Fireball bet.
Yeah, no
what
kidding.
What is the fireball
definitely
bet?
Definitely a fireball bet.
That Dameon Pierce is not going to have a better year than Joe Mixon.
I never said that. I said I said Joe Mixon's going to be the running back one still. I said that it's just going to – I think Dameon Pierce is going to have a better year than people think.
Okay, it did seem like you were alluding to him having a better year than Joe Mixon, but
I'm glad you clarified that.
No, Dameon Pierce is going to have a better year than last year, was what I was saying. Sorry, okay.
I think them putting him on special teams is not like, oh, well, I think we're just going to save him by putting him on there and not having him be the direct backup to Devin.
No, they're trying to get him to get his – they're trying to get his bearings back. I mean, it was a really bad year for him, but, I mean, obviously his rookie campaign was phenomenal, and you can't take that away from him. Obviously the yards per carry went down, but Singletary just beat him. I mean, hopefully sure. Pierce is out there working hard in the offseason.
And a new coach. That didn't help either.
Yeah.
But whatever. Okay, that's fine. Next one is me again. It's Malik Nabers. He's 47 overall for us, but Josh has him at 50. Joe has him at 31. I have him at 68. I'm super low on him because the Giants suck, and I do not want a Giants wide receiver on my team until they get a quarterback. So, and until they change out Daniel Jones, I don't want any part of this. I think Malik Nabers is in for a bad year, and I think 800 yards is probably his ceiling because of Daniel Jones. And then if Daniel Jones gets hurt, it's even lower than that. I get it, Joe. He is a Ferrari, but you put a Ferrari in this situation where it's just a wasteland, it's not going to make the Ferrari work any better. Just sorry. It's just not going to work that way. So that's why I have him so low. I will not be having him at any point in any of my leagues because I don't trust the Giants.
I will say, and this is, and I'm the middle ground here. So remember, like, I also agree with you. I'm a little worried about the Daniel Jones here, but I will say the fact that our man, Jaden Daniels, who's not really necessarily a throwing quarterback, more of a mobile quarterback. I mean, he can throw, obviously. But the fact that he could throw for 1600 yards to Malik Nabers means Daniel Jones can throw 1,000 yards to Malik. That's why I had him where I had him, was that there is a possibility that Nabers' talent outweighs the shitty situation that he is in. But yes, I do agree next year will be a lot better for him. I feel bad for everyone who drafted him in Dynasty number two overall because you are not getting number two overall results. Not this year is what I'm saying. But all right, Joe, go ahead, man. I'm not a Jones
believer. You are absolutely getting your number two draft stock with Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is a phenomenal wide receiver, and I can hear your argument. What?
He is. I mean, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not
I can see your argument that, like, next year will be better, but this year he's the only show in town. There's no one else on this team. You want to argue me?
Darius Slayton, wide receiver one, is there.
Exactly.
Darius Slayton is not doing a damn thing. Jalen Hyatt hasn't shown anything. Darren Waller is about retirement. Daniel Bellinger, we thought he was okay. Theo Johnson's old, or not old, but he's raw. Malik Nabers is it. It's not
Devin Singletary. What about Wandale? Wandale actually had some sneaky good years.
I like Wandale a lot this year, too. This offense is being slept on. They're still going to go out, and they're going to throw footballs, and they're going to score a touchdown.
All right, You name it, and I'll take it, man. Fireball bet.
Yeah, for sure. That bet should be whatever you want, man. Jalen Hyatt was the best wide receiver in college football 2 years ago. He got to the Giants, and now we're talking about whether he should even be on a taxi squad because they're so bad. Like, that said all I needed to see about Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Wow, I love Roll.
I like the league neighbors. I'm not worried. Like, if this was
1,308 is the fireball.
1,300 yards?
Yards? Oh, my God. Oh, Joe. Yeah.
Isn't that the record?
Joe, we need a random drug test at your house because this.
Oh, there's drugs in here.
This is insane.
It's fine. Like, I'm sober as a bird.
It's not a targeted drug test, but it is. It's for you. And that yeah, man,
you
crazy.
Had too good of a performance on the podcast because that was just such a good take.
That is wow. Okay. Right. 1,300 yards.
Write that down. Jot that down.
That's wow.
All right. On to the next one. Christian Kirk, who Joe has significantly higher than myself and 7 higher than Bill. 41 for Joe, 48 for Bill, and 61 for me. Joe, you want to make an argument for Christian Kirk?
Let's go again with another very knowledgeable take you guys are going to laugh at. No. There are 251 targets missing. 251 targets. They have the second most targets available outside of Buffalo. I'm sorry. Second most targets. And I'm sorry, Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis are not large target share guys. I mean, Brian Thomas might end up being that, but right now him and Gabe Davis kind of cancel each other out, in my opinion. So Christian Kirk is the number one on this team by a mile. He has chemistry with Trevor Lawrence already, so he's going to have a hell of a season. He might lead the NFL in catches this year, and I'm here for it.
I don't know about the last part, but honestly, I will go ahead and argue my 61 standing, and I will just say that was an oversight. I have no argument against this. 41 seems very, very generous for him. Maybe a little under. If I redid him, I'd probably put him at 45, something like that, but... Yeah, no, I mean, I think I have Cooper Kupp at 45, so I'd put him around there. I feel like Cooper Kupp on the end of his career, who could have a really good year. Christian Kirk, yes, there's the wide receivers are missing, and I think that's why I didn't put him in sooner, was because I was like, I just don't know if I just don't believe in T-Law anymore. Like, I was really hoping like that it was like, it'll turn around, and it hasn't. And
yeah, it's hard to believe in him right now.
But. It really is. And like, I know that Jaguars fans aren't celebrating the streets right now, but I would just be kind of pissed off if I was a Jaguars fan. I know signing Calvin Ridley wasn't a thing, but then you just went out and got Gabe Davis, one of the most, all right, anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But no, yeah, I would definitely say that my argument is that I undervalued him in my ranking system.
It happens to the best of us. Yeah, I mean, Christian Kirk. At 50, you would be pretty happy if you ended up with him at the 41. Like, that would be fine. I probably would take him there as well. I mean, 48 is just, I don't know, feels like splitting hairs when we're this deep, to be honest. But yeah, no, Joe, I think you are more correct than lower.
I think my problem is this is where I started putting in QBs and tight ends, really like started putting them in. And I think that's where I got carried away was I just didn't drag and drop Christian Kirk in there soon enough. But I'm not really, like I said, I'm not like super excited about Christian Kirk either. Like, we're talking the sixth round. So like, I'm not like, oh man, I got to have Christian Kirk. But if I get him there, I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like that's one of those like, yeah, man, I'm getting 12 points a game. This kind of guy I like on my team. So.
You did put Devon Achane 30 spots ahead of him, so.
I actually believe in Devon Achane, so I'm just saying. Devon. Yeah, he's got a new name. Achane.
Devon Achane.
All right. Anyway, next up.
Okay, next one is I think that's Joe with Zay Flower. No, it's not Zay Flower.
No,
never. It's Jerry me. McCorn. Oh, it's me, Jerry McCorn. We have him at 58 overall. Josh has him at 63. Joe has him at 40. I have him at 75. I just don't trust Jaden Daniels throwing the football. I don't trust him this year, at least. In the future, I think he will be much better. But this season, I think Terry McLaurin is in for another vintage Terry McLaurin year where he's just stuck with a bad quarterback. Is he capable of still getting like 1,100 yards and 5 touchdowns? Sure. I'm not overly worried about that. But at the same time, I would not want to take him very high based on – I just don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be a very good thrower this year. I think he's going to be more ground game, and I just don't think that bodes well for him. I think more of Jahan Dotson than I think of Terry McLaurin.
Well, that's just because you can get Jahan Dotson a lot later. I think we have him at like 90 overall or something like that. Like, he's way down there on the list. Like, people aren't thinking about Jahan Dotson. Actually, might even lower than that. Joe, why do you have a 40?
Okay. I'm actually going to combine the two of these. I'm going to go Terry McLaurin. I'm going to bring in Jahan Dotson, who I have at 80. Billy has at 86. Josh, you have him 110. And this is very simple. It's the best quarterback they've had in the Commanders in a long time. This dude can actually throw the flipping football. I'm going to save the effort for later. I think we're over our limit on that one already. But it's the best quarterback they have. I mean, they have Eckler there, who's going to take a lot of pressure off the wide receivers. The other thing is they added Cliff Kingsbury. Last year, the Commanders targeted the wide receivers 52% of the time. That's it. Sam Howell was not good at getting it to Jahan Dotson. He threw it a lot to, and plus Curtis Samuel's out of there. So it's another mouth out of that offense. You have McLaurin, you have Dotson. I mean, Ben Sinnott is he's not going to do anything this year. He might have a halfway decent year, but he's not going to be a major target. And then you have Austin. What?
Zach Ertz.
No, Zach Ertz is dead. He's not going to make it through camp. And then you got those are the only two receivers you have on this team. Cliff Kingsbury targeted the wide receiver 75% of the time. It's a 25% increase than when we saw with Sam Howell last year. Both of these guys are going to go to the moon. It's going to be awesome. Jaden Daniels might suck at throwing the football. The volume alone is going to let them beast, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm going to, as the middle ground guy, I'm just going to go back to this. Vintage Terry McLaurin year sounded the best thing I've ever heard. Like, I mean, wide receiver 25 pretty much every year. I love Terry McLaurin. I think he's a great wide receiver, but I do agree. Like, there's just a lot. This actually goes back to the whole Bears argument. I understand that there's only two good wide receivers, add in Baby McCaffrey in there too. But then you got Eckler. You got two tight ends. You got Brian Robinson, who I'm sure they'll throw, like, way too many passes to. With a mobile quarterback. I mean, like, to me, it's just like, I think where he ended up is perfect. 58 under Keenan Allen, Zay Flowers, you know, what else is around here? Wide receiver wise, Chris Godwin's a little lower, but like, I mean, like, yeah, this is where McLaurin goes. Maybe he could be a little higher. But in reality, like, I think this is where he falls at this point with a rookie quarterback, unproven. And honestly, I think it's a steal of the draft. I think you know what you're getting with Terry McLaurin. He's one of the most consistent wide receivers in fantasy football. You need 1,000 yards from him every single season. Even with this new quarterback, I think you still get 1,000 yards from him. I just don't think you get much more. He's never been the touchdown guy. That's what's killed me. I've seen him go down the entire field, catch 4 balls in a row, and then have them run it in with not even Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson, like just whoever else is on the team. What's that? Chase Rodriguez or whatever. Like, it's what it is, man. It's the Commanders for you. Like, it's just a weird team. I always liked the Commanders personally. And it's just one of those teams. Like, Terry McLaurin's just never, like, been the guy that he should be. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
This is the year that changes.
I hope so. I've been preaching this for like 3 years now and it hasn't happened. So it's hard for me to be like super stoked about him.
It's going to take me a year of seeing it to believe it. Just, I don't know. It's just the way I feel about it. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Feel how you may.
All right. Well, I'm going to actually switch mine up because I already did talk about Zamir White. So this is the outside the 50 guys. And this is DeAndre Swift time. And I'm actually very curious, Joe. You have him only 8 under me, but Billy has him at 77. We have him at 64, a man who was just signed to the Bears for a lot of money and who is actually probably going to be used as the pass catching running back that he should be. And I mean, had a great year at the Eagles, stayed fully healthy. Obviously the Eagles just stopped using him because that's just vintage Eagles for running backs. But 1,000 rushing yards, the lowest pass catching of his career, because once again, vintage Eagles. You add 3 touchdowns to this man. This guy is consistent workload of what he was getting in the first half of the season. This is running back 6. You know what I mean? Like, are we really worried? Are we worried about Khalil Herbert? Are we worried about Roshan? Are we worried about all the other mouths to feed that we already kind of chatted about? Like, why am I the highest on DeAndre Swift is my question.
I mean, I'll take it from my perspective. He's getting into a crowded backfield, and while I do think he's still the RB1 there, I wouldn't be shocked if there's weeks where Roshan leads the team in touches. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a week that Khalil Herbert has a game. Like, I think that it's all completely possible. And I think when you're salting a game away, I don't think you're going to be doing it with Swift. I think you're going to be doing it with one of those guys. And I just, for my liking, I just don't like the situation, because you're just trusting that a rookie quarterback is going to be getting him the ball, like, through dump offs and stuff, where I think is he will be dumping it off to like Keenan Allen or one of the other guys to take it to the house rather than Swift. So I just don't trust it.
See, I see the 1,000 rushing yards plus the 400 receiving yards. Like, I see 1,400 yards on the horizon here, and I don't know what the touchdowns look like because of the fact that there are these other running backs, but I see Swift actually having the best year of his career, but more so more consistent on both sides. Like, I mean, I could see the receiving numbers going up even, like, especially with a rookie quarterback. I know we talk about it all the time and it never really happens, but if you're going to, it's not even dump offs for Swift. It's designed pass plays for Swift. Like, we already know that that's what the Bears had in store.
Well, why didn't the Eagles bring him back then? Like, that's what,
because the Eagles don't like,
they signed him for 1 year.
The Eagles never threw to Miles Sanders. The Eagles only threw to Darren Sproles, and then they signed Boston Scott, and they didn't even throw to Boston Scott. Like, I don't – after Darren Sproles left, screen passes died in the Eagles. Like, they never did
that. Well, it just concerns me that the Eagles are happy to have him on another team in the NFC. They're just like, okay, whatever. You all can have him as your RB.
They went out and got Saquon Barkley. Obviously, exactly. They want the ground-the-pound guy. Exactly. I think what it,
so they're like, I'm going to go get a better running back to be on the team. Like, that makes me nervous.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Swift. He played a fine year, honestly. I mean, other than the collapse of the Eagles at the end of the year, which wasn't not Swift's fault. I mean, the team was doing bad. If anything, like, you add some stats if the Eagles didn't collapse, because they wouldn't have been losing by 14 points or 30 points at the end of the game. So, Joe, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Billy, I want to circle back and thank you for saying that, you know, we will actually be salting games away this year.
I think you will.
I appreciate you saying that. Number two, I love DeAndre Swift. I'm very high on him. I think he's gonna have maybe not as good of his year as last year, but it's gonna be very close to what he did last year. This is my point exactly why you value the wide receivers, the big targeted wide receivers, higher than you get these running backs. Because right now, if you look in this range, we have DeAndre Swift, James Conner, Aaron Jones. I mean, who else? Najee. We got Austin Eckler sitting here in this range. This is where you target your number two running back, guys. This is it. They all have RB1 potential. They're all going to have great games. This is it. So, yeah, I could have Swift higher, but I think he's going to have a great year.
I think we all have Eckler too low, by the way, at 73, getting Austin Eckler. Like, even if he doesn't work out, like, it's your sixth round pick. Like, it doesn't even end your game.
Billy, I'm going to throw this one at you here.
Do it,
because I have Eckler at 59. Josh has him at 66. You have it at 97. Austin Eckler? To throw it at you.
Somewhat a similar situation. You have a run first quarterback who's going to be eating up a chunk of yards. You'd have Brian Robinson, who's not going to not be getting touches in that offense. While I do think Eckler is an improvement on Brian Robinson, I still think they're going to be all out there. And then I just don't – I think Austin Eckler is a little bit over the hill for me, and I wouldn't mind getting him as my potential flex option, but I don't – by any means don't think he's going to be, you know, 80% of this backfield. I think he's more going to be like 65, maybe 55%. I just don't believe in it.
The guy who was running back 1 2 years ago had a bad year. Everyone had a bad year on the Chargers. You talk about run first offenses, but you have a new run first running back. We have, you know, Anthony Richardson the first couple games. Jonathan Taylor did fine. We have the Eagles.
There's not another running back with Anthony Richardson, though. Swift, you didn't have two people with Anthony Richardson. Swift
did fine. The Eagles love to use Boston Scott and Gainwell. The Ravens had, you know, all their running backs and still did fine. I just don't see this being an issue. I think Brian Robinson, yes, he'll get his work, but Eckler's literally the third wide receiver on the team too. Like, they're using him as he's supposed to be. Like, I'm not worried about Austin Eckler. I think this is the steal of the draft personally. Like, Matthew Berry's going to talk about it later too, but I don't think it's like a scared.
Oh God, he's a Commanders fan too.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh God, this is going to suck.
Yeah, I think Eckler gets bumped super hard, really, at the end. Like, he's going to have, like, camp news. Like, he's going to be the camp news guy. Like, oh, Eckler looks fine. He's never been better and blah, blah, blah. But, no, honestly, if he stays here, this is the steal of the draft. If he's even that 65th round guy, like you said, if he's your flex, like, you already have two running backs, two wide receivers, and you go get Eckler, like, oh, my God, that might be the winner of the year.
I just feel like you all think he's, like, a – running back that's actually going to be leading the backfield the whole game. And I'm seeing him like,
I don't think
a couple downs. He'll be out for, you know, maybe a series here and there. Like, I don't think it'll be him all the way through. I just don't
know. How many touches do you think Austin Eckler's going to get?
Do last year that makes you think that he's better? He's going to take touches from Austin Eckler.
Just because he's been on the team. I mean, they didn't. Although they added Austin Eckler, I don't think that it necessarily meant they were going to give up on him. I think it just meant
he's been a dude that a new staff inherited that hasn't done anything too exciting.
700 yards.
And they just signed Austin Eckler, who is Austin Eckler, and he's going to be awesome. I don't know.
But like, the Chargers got rid of him on a run for his team for a reason. Like, I feel like when you let a guy go, you're not like, you want to think that you're not getting rid of a good player. You're getting rid of a guy who's probably on the downslope. Like, that's just
so. Therefore, then you think David Montgomery was on the downslope? The Bears got rid of him last year.
Not necessarily, but the Bears also didn't have him in their plans. Austin Eckler could have actually led the backfield with the Chargers.
They were already far apart on contracts last year. He signed that 1-year deal to stay with them, so they didn't want to have to pay him. I mean, they probably got three guys for the price they would pay Austin Eckler if he did stay with the Chargers. I just don't think Brian Robinson's that good of a running back.
I don't think so either. I just think he's going to eat in enough to where, like, I'm not going to be shocked if he is an eighth round player. Like, that doesn't shock me.
Eckler finished the season healthy and is on a new team and is 27 years old or 28 years old. He's not done. Like, I know Joe doesn't like that.
You just got the news that, you know, Johnny Newton's having foot surgery. You got Jonathan Allen there. Cameron Curl's gone. Like, this defense is a wreck. So they're going to have to be using Austin Eckler out of the backfield as your pass catcher, because that's – I know Brian Robinson caught passes last year. That's not his role.
I don't even think you have to wait for you to be down. I think Austin Eckler's in the game plan from the get-go. Like, it's going to be –
I just don't think he's ever coming off the field. I think they got him –
I just disagree. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you guys. I'd see this differently.
All right.
Well, you have two teams that are rebuilding.
You guys grilled the shit out of me earlier.
One of them let him walk. Like, you know, just similar things, I guess. I don't know.
All right, I think that's actually,
I'm coming at you.
No, I agree, Joe. I just think that everybody's down on Austin Eckler right now, and it makes honestly no sense.
Well, like Justin Herbert, I would think, would be fighting tooth and nail to have his best weapon on the team with him. But
you think he would have fought tooth and nail for any of his guys, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you think maybe he clearly didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and it's fine if you're like Keenan Allen, go to the Bears for a fifth round pick. I think you gave him away for nothing.
Has anyone checked on Justin Herbert recently? Is he?
Dude, honestly, like, I would be so sad if I was Justin Herbert right now.
Yeah,
he's just sitting on a beach with like his hair blown in the wind slightly, just staring off into the distance right now.
100% right now. Any last minute additions to this that we're just sitting here?
We'll keep it quick. Ladd McConkey, Josh has him at 100. Joe has him at 66. I have him at 55. He's going to take the Austin Eckler role in this offense. He's going to be a PPR monster. I think 100 is ridiculous. This will be my steal of the draft. This will be the guy Matthew Berry's boosting up. If I can get him this late, like, I'll be perfectly happy with that. Like, seventh round, like, that's a guy I'm going to be starting in my wide receiver two spot every week, and I'm not going to think twice about it.
I'll be honest with you. My problem with rookie wide receivers at this point is you don't know what this is going to shake out to be. Ladd probably has the best chance to make an immediate impact other than Marvin Harrison or even Neighbors, but I can definitely say 100 is definitely low, but it was just when I was putting these other guys in there, I'm like, I don't know what this team's going to be. Like, I saw Quentin Johnston look terrible last year. Like, I assume he'll be again, but like, what if Ladd's just bad? What if this team is just bad? Like, honestly, everyone was bad on that team last year. So I just don't have a lot of faith in the Chargers in my organization at this moment. So I definitely undervalued him a bit, but I don't have any like real reason to put him there other than I just don't know what's going to happen. I think this is about where Ladd goes. I think the average between the three of us put him where he needs to be.
I'll be taking him higher than most people then. And I'll be happy about it too. Like, I will not feel bad about that at all. Especially if it's not a PPR league, may think twice about it. Like, if it's just standard, but if it's half point or regular PPR, please just put him on my team, please.
All right. Other than Billy not rating Christian Watson, Jaden Reed is perpetually going underneath Christian Watson, and I've never understood this. I'm not going to do the whole argument because you guys already know where I stand. But the man, other than touchdowns wide open in the end zone, has literally gotten, what, a max of 600 yards on the season. I just don't understand why we just immediately vault him as the wide receiver one on this team. Jaden Reed, one of the most consistent wide receivers in the league. Taking him everywhere else, like, it's just not happening for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jaden Reed. He's fine. I just think the Packers have a bunch of wide receiver twos on their team, and Watson is the only guy that profiles as wide receiver one. And I know I've heard the argument 100 times, but I don't think all of his long touchdowns were flukes. And I think that now that he's healed from his hamstring, he should be quite a bit better this year.
Is he healed? Like, I feel like that's why I didn't rank him. I don't even know if he's going to play. Like, how many games is he realistically going to play this season? Like, 5, 6? And then he's going to leave, like, 2 because he has soreness? I think some people just are hurt, and they're not going to get better. And he feels like one of those guys to me. And I don't know. It's not that I don't like him. If he was playing, I probably would have ranked him, you know, probably – I still would be low. It'd be lower than Jaden Reed, and I have Jaden Reed at a 111.
All right. So this is my problem here, okay, right? So Jaden Reed, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns in 16 games in his rookie year. Christian Watson, 611, 7 touchdowns in 14 games in his rookie year. Why are we still – like, I mean, I'm not just saying rookie year is the only thing that ever counts, but, like, why are we pretending that Reed isn't good? Why are we pretending?
No, Reed's awesome, but you can't survive with end arounds your entire career. That's all he did last year. He scored like 6 touchdowns on end arounds from like the 20-yard line.
It wasn't only the touchdowns though. He got the targets too, man. Like 90 targets, 66 targets. Like, it's just Reed got the plays, and he is the wide receiver one on this team. And I think if anything, he's only going up, and Christian Watson's only staying stagnant. Until Christian Watson gets 800 yards, I'm not even talking about him anymore.
Okay.
That's fair. I don't trust anybody on this offense, and I definitely don't trust Christian Watson.
I was the one banging the table for Jaden Reed last year.
No, you're right.
You nailed it. And I still think that Christian Watson could be the better receiver on this team if he stays healthy.
That's fair.
Not talking about
All right, I only have one more that I wanted to bring up really quick, and that would be Brian Thomas Jr. I have him at 80. You all have him 116 for Josh, 136 for Joe. I don't get why you guys wouldn't think he would come in and immediately be good on this team. Like, they literally just got rid of Zay Jones. They got rid of Calvin Ridley. He desperately needed a wide receiver too, and a guy who can stretch the field. Brian Thomas is that guy. He had 20 touchdowns last season. I think maybe the yardage won't be there fully, but I think the touchdowns will. And I think if he gets 10 touchdowns, even if he got like 800 yards, he would be way better. He would be an 8th-round guy rather than in the 130s. Like, he's basically telling me he's free, and I will take him if he's free.
I definitely think we probably have him low, but honestly, in my opinion, this just comes back down to the rookies and – I'm not ranking a rookie in the 70s at this moment, other than a couple of them. You know what I mean? Like, not every rookie is going to be good. And it's hard for me to just put people up there just because they were good in college. This is like Hyatt. You probably had Hyatt at 70 coming out of college, but it didn't work out. Right. Like, I mean,
I doubt it because I hate the Giants. So I doubt I did enough. That, but you're going in with Trevor Lawrence.
We have the sheet somewhere. We can pull it up.
Yeah, maybe I believed more in the Giants last year. I definitely don't now. But I just think they drafted him in the first round to play football, so I don't think he's not going to get an opportunity. I probably ranked Quentin Johnston high because he had a perfect opportunity to come in there and be a good guy, but wasn't very good. Treylon Burks, probably the same thing. Brian Thomas could be like that, but I just don't think he's going to be.
I actually like Brian Thomas a lot, not so much in redrafts. My whole thing is, I know Doug Peterson's happy ass is going to go out there with Kirk and Gabe Davis as your starting wide receivers, because Gabe Davis is the veteran. Brian Thomas is going to have to earn his role. And then, like, you know, week 14, you start to see what he's like. And then next year, he's a 5th-round pick. That's kind of how I see the season go.
That's fair.
I can see him being good. To me, I'm not ranking rookies above 100 at this point at this time of the year. I feel like there's year two, year three guys that have a better chance of going and breaking out than
Right. Do you guys have any more people you want to mention?
I mean, we could talk about the whole rankings at this point. So, but I mean, we will.
Good job, what we're doing. Josh, Joe, do you have any other players you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, don't draft David Njoku. I'm going back for my my Deshaun Watson research that I did.
He hates David Njoku, or just tight ends in general.
No, dude, it's really bad with David Njoku. So with Deshaun Watson, he averaged 8.32 points. Without Deshaun Watson, he averaged 17 points a game. So Deshaun Watson with tight ends in the past, in 2018, Jordan Thomas was tight end 32. Ryan Griffin was tight end 39. In 2019, Darren Fells was tight end 17. And then in 2020, Darren Fells was tight end 32. He has never sustained a good tight end, and he is not going to. Just David Njoku, trade him immediately. Not saying now, he's a bad tight end, but trade him.
Sean Watson won't play the whole season, so don't worry about it. Keep him on your team.
No, he'll be there.
No, I agree with your Njoku take. It's just hard watching him play well without Deshaun Watson and knowing that he's going to have to go into a season with Watson. Or it's just kind of
– I love those. I love those where it's just kind of like, why – he's so good without him. And then, you know, great with backups. But
I know. It's tough. All right. Well, that wraps up the rankings for this week, at least. We will be coming back with Royal Rankings Rumble number 2. That's a mouthful. Probably late July, early August, just to get you ready for your drafts. By then, we'll have a lot more information of training camps, depth charts, a whole bunch more information to actually go off of here, because this is basically just thoughts and prayers that we're basing all this on now. Next week, we will be taking a week off. So if your podcast doesn't pop up like normal, you're probably going to be like, well, what the hell? What's going on? We're taking a scheduled week off. Look, guys, we're here most of the season, most of the year, doing this every week. So, you know, we just need a little R&R for a week just to kind of get our bearings back. And then we'll also be back.
Yelling at each other for this long. I mean, it's just, we just need to take a break, you know, from each
other. No kidding. But when we come back, we will start our division previews, which we break down every team from every division for basically the entire summer. And we just talk about each team. So if you're looking forward to what our content's going to be, that's pretty much what's going to be over the summer. We're going to go through every fantasy player on every team and make cases for them and talk about how good these teams are actually going to be going into the season. Now that we have a schedule release too, guys, that just happened today, which is exciting. I don't really care about schedule talk as much as a lot of other people, but it did get released. It did happen. All right. Also, the rookie guide is officially complete as far as I know. So like all of the fantasy implications for every player, IDP and offense has been put in there. If you ordered a hard copy, I believe that's coming out too soon. If I'm talking out of my ass here, my bad, Nate, my bad, Ricky. I didn't mean to blow up your spot, but whatever, is what it is. So go order that. Again, next week we will be off. We are not, you know, we didn't disappear for no reason. We will be off. So with that being said, Joe, get us into our mini vacation.
R&R. Good night.